And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, one thing we know for sure, the synagogue of Satan is going to gain great strength in the last days. It says so in Revelation 2 and 3. I believe in Bible prophecy. The Bible, in fact, says we have a sure word of prophecy. If the synagogue of Satan is going to get stronger, then the world's only remaining superpower, as the United States is continually called, will certainly be the one of the backers or movers or maybe the beast that the whore of Babylon, which is, of course, false Israel, the Israel of Satan, rides upon. Read about that in Revelation 17, the woman who rides the beast. Today we want to talk about why things are not going to change, well, unless a couple of things happen, which are not likely, but I wish they would happen. But I want to talk about a subject today that may sort of shock some of you, and others say, oh my goodness gracious, how could Tex Mars have the gall, the courage, the stupidity to bring up such a subject? Well, it's necessary. See, we've been having debate after debate with the Republican candidates, but nobody has really brought up, well, and nobody's mentioned the elephant in the living room. They've talked about all kinds of things, and we've seen a lot of messing up and blame and accusations and just sort of stupidity, you know, like oops, in the debates. But I want to talk about something that's more important. You see, I believe that anyone who wants to be president of the United States had better put America first in all things. If you want to be president of Mexico, go down there, run for office in Mexico City and Guadalajara and Tijuana and leave us alone. If you want to be president of France, well, go to Paris, speak a little bit of a French lingo. And the same thing goes if you want to be the king of Thailand or his servant, go to Thailand and say, you know, Kun Sabadi Lu. And that's about the only language I can speak other than the United States is Thai. I spent 2 years there and studied it also at the University of Maryland. But if you want to be president of Israel, would you go there and shut your mouth and stop debating for the American presidency? You see, there's one thing I want you to know, friends. I realize there are almost 200 nations on earth. And if I was from Zimbabwe, I would probably be a Zimbabwe patriot. If I was from Nigeria, the same thing. If I was from British, I'd fight for Britain's rights and economy and everything else. I'd support the parliament and the House of Commons and all that. Or maybe I wouldn't be a good British patriot. And if I was an Israeli, well, I would vote for membership, vote for the members of the Knesset, their parliament, and push for a certain person, a politician, to be prime minister. It would certainly be somebody other than Benjamin the Killer Netanyahu. But here's the whole point about it. If you're going to run for president of America, for goodness sakes, put America first. Well, today we want to talk about people that I call kosher candidates who kissed the boots of Jewish masters and put Israel first. And for goodness sakes, quit pretending you're an American and go over to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and run for office over there. And I'm talking not only about Barack Obama, who was pictured on the cover of New York Magazine recently wearing a Jewish yarmulke. And the headline, that's right, the feature article in New York Magazine said that Barack Obama is America's first Jewish president. Well, the magazine New York is a little bit late because over 3 years ago, Tex Mars put out his video, Rothschild's Choice, which I stated exactly that. And now after 3 years, the liberal media in New York City, you know, the very seat of whoredom in the world, says, guess what, everybody? Obama is America's first Jewish president. Yeah, well, you're a little bit late, but I'm glad you finally came to that conclusion. But I don't want to put another Jewish president in office. I don't want to put a president named Rick Perry or Romney, Mitt Romney, or Michelle Bachmann, certainly not Herman the Philanderer Kane, in office, because I know what they are. I know what all these people are. Newt Gingrich, John Huntsman, they are all sycophants. I mean, that means they're sickos, but it also means they're servants, they're slaves of the Jewish billionaires and the Jewish agenda, and they will, and they have already indicated that they put Israel first. Now, I'm going to talk about some of the flip-flops and crazy things going on in this this debate season, you want to call it that? First of all, I want to posit a thesis. That's what we used to say when I taught as a professor at the university. I want to posit, that means basically state, but you know, we have to use big words when you're teaching college students. They don't understand them anyway. You know, today, you know, most students are dumbed down, but you go ahead and do it anyway just to be a, you know, highfalutin intellect type of a person. But I want to talk about Republican presidential candidates who prove to be moral pygmies, unartful liars, and waffling flip-floppers as they bow down and pledge loyalty to the Zionist cause. That's right. Every person who's running for political office in the Republican ticket, and we take Barack Obama as a given. So, you know, why beat a dead horse or, you know, a dead Jewish slave, whatever you'd call him. But I'm going to talk about the Republicans, who some people actually believe are conservative and put America first. But I'm here to tell you they are moral pygmies, unartful liars, and waffling flip-floppers, all except for Congressman Ron Paul. I've never really endorsed anybody for president since we founded this ministry. And I'm not endorsing anybody. You can say that I'm sort of waffling myself. But I can tell you right now, I'm not going to waffle, because I'll tell you right now, the only person that's decent among this whole group is Ron Paul. You may not agree with him on everything, but he hasn't kissed the boots of any Jewish masters. He doesn't put Israel first. He puts the U.S. Constitution first. That's just a fact. If you can prove otherwise, let me know. But I've studied him pretty closely as a fellow Texan here and a candidate for president, as he's been for a few times now. And he puts America first, and I respect that of Ron Paul. Now, I want to talk to you about people that don't. People who don't put America first, nor our Constitution, nor our Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution, and I doubt if they even know it's the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, because they're such moral pygmies and con men and liars that they haven't really studied the Constitution. I suspect if I set all these Republicans down and said, I'm going to give you a test. And I used to do that, by the way. You know, I taught it for the university on American and state government, American state and local government, to be exact. I taught introduction to political science. And we drill people on the U.S. Constitution, their students. And I can assure you that my freshman students knew a lot more than these presidential wannabes who are just plain constitutional dumbos. Now, you might say, well, Tex, you're saying a lot of bad words there about such wonderful men, such lovely men. I mean, Newt Gingrich, he's built up constantly by the press as a man of fantastic ideas and brain power. Oh, shut up, press. When are we going to start trusting those people? Are you trusting them to tell you who to vote for? Let's talk a little bit about Newt Gingrich. Now, in this week's Time magazine, I see a picture of Newt Gingrich on page 32. They've actually got Newt smiling and a halo around his head. And the title of the article is, Let There Be Newt. Like, you know, like God has ordained him as a saint, Saint Newt. He's arrived. Now think about it. Time magazine is one of the most filthy, dirty, lying publications in America, but they think that Newt is like an angel. He's a saint. And I can understand why. He's like them. I mean, I suspect the average editor or editor-in-chief of Time magazine probably has three wives, two of which he's cheated on. They've cheated on, and One of them, Newt Gingrich's wife, was laying in the hospital bed with cancer, and he went in and said, "Hi, sweetheart. By the way, I'm going to divorce you. I've been having a little dirty affair with my assistant there in my speaker's office in the Capitol building. Her name is Callista. You know, farewell, my lady. I'm leaving you and going to go shack up some more with my little girlfriend, Callista," who, by the way, he did finally marry to his good. Cheated on two wives, but he said he's made his mistakes. They don't call those mistakes, Newt. They call them sin. But you, having recently converted to Roman Catholicism, you probably wouldn't know what that is. Because after all, even with your jaded, immoral record, your moral pygmyism, Newt Gingrich, they recently invited you to the Opus Dei Secret Society National Convention, didn't they? That's what I, you know, discussed with people, and I had a whole article about it back in 2010. And Newt Gingrich was so thankful that he left the Protestant church and became a Roman Catholic now that he actually funded and paid for a movie that Newt Gingrich Productions made called The Inspiration of Pope John Paul II. Inspiration of Pope John Paul II, the guy who brought in witch doctors and snake handlers and Buddhist monks and Hindu gurus to Assisi, Italy, and held hands and prayed with them. The inspiration of Pope John Paul II, Newt. No wonder a newt is basically, according to the dictionary, a lizard. Oh, lizard mouth. Well, let's look at Newt Gingrich. You see, I think we ought to go back to this guy's record. And when you do, it's the most irresponsible thing. You have to understand, you know, Michelle Bachmann did say one thing right recently. She said that Gingrich is a liar about his abortion record. The guy is a pro-choice. But, you know, he's sort of like John Kerry. Well, I voted for pro-life before I voted for pro-choice. Gingrich is, I mean, he's all over the map. Talk about a flip-flopper. I mean, Mitt Romney doesn't have anything on this guy. Let me tell you. Well, let's see. Newt Gingrich recently said, "There are differences in the candidates, but you won't find any surprises with me." No, you won't, Newt, because I think good Christian people are going to out you, and I'm going to do it today. I'm going to start today. First of all, there's Gingrich's third wave plan for America. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not making this up, but I quoted it in one of my newsletters when I talked about the fact that Newt Gingrich was chosen. He's the Illuminati's elite's choice for 2012. And I included a copy of the cover of a book which Newt Gingrich wrote the foreword for. It's entitled Creating a New Civilization. Newt wants to create a whole new civilization. And I want you to know about it. Now, the book's written by two communists, in my opinion, Jews, Alvin and Heidi Toffler. It's called Creating a New Civilization, The Politics of the Third Wave. Third wave, what is that? Well, whatever it is, Newt Gingrich endorsed it and even wrote the foreword for this book promoting it. And as I understand it, Newt Gingrich bought a copy of Creating a New Civilization and gave it free to every Republican member of the House of Representatives when this book was published. This is his blueprint for America and the world. You need to know about it, dear friend. If you're going to vote for this clod, you'll like to know the new civilization you're going to be living in if he gets his way. So let's look at it. Here's some of the third wave principles. By the way, they tell you what the first wave is, which is old-fashioned, outmoded stuff. This is bad stuff. Things like nationalism, patriotism, that's first wave stuff. Newt Gingrich and the Toffler commies want to get rid of that. You say, Tex, that's impossible. Newt Gingrich? The guy was Speaker of the House of Representatives. Surely this would have been in the major press by now. The New York Times probably would have made it their headline. Oh, please. They're not going to let you peasant, know about this. Or me, peasant, know about it. Let me read right from the book. It says, nationalism is first wave. the globalization. Oh yeah, we know all about that. How's that been working out lately with Europe failing and the contagion spreading to America and 20 something million Americans out of work? How's that globalization work with the outsourcing of jobs to China and the closing of American factories for the last 20 years under the watch of Newt Gingrich, who pushed for NAFTA? Yeah, old NAFTA. Ross Perot was right. He said there's going to be a big sucking sound when all the jobs go out of America. They said, oh, you're just a crazy big-eared Texan, Ross Perot. He was right. And Gingrich and Clinton and all the Al Gore nuts were wrong. But nobody will go back and take a look at what happened, what really happened. But in this book, Newt Gingrich endorses, he says that third wave economies, which he approves, globalization, routinely puncture the national sovereignty the nationalists hold so dear. See, friends, you hold American patriotism and nationalism so dear, and they intend to puncture the things that you love and cherish, which is America first, America border to border. As economies are transformed by the third wave, Newt's book says, they are compelled to surrender part of their sovereignty. That's right, America's going to have to give up part of its sovereignty. Poets, listen to this. Oh, it's so, this makes me want to cry. This is so romantic. Listen to what Newt and his commie friends at Toffler say in this book, Creating a New Civilization. Listen to this. Poets and intellectuals of third wave states sing the virtues of a borderless world and planetary consciousness. Now, that's like love and harmony. It makes me want to go join these Occupy movements, start taking LSD and marijuana and living in a tent. I mean, think about it. And listen to the poets play their little guitars as they sing about a borderless world and planetary consciousness. By the way, another thing, this is a New Age book. It is a New Age satanic book. He says, listen to this now. This is what Newt Gingrich says, along with the Tofflers, in this incredible book. A new civilization is emerging in our lives. And blind men, that's you, you're a blind person, and blind men everywhere are trying to suppress it. This new civilization brings with it new family styles, changed ways, a new economy, new political conflicts, and altered consciousness. Humanity faces a quantum leap forward. This is the meaning of the third wave. Are you ready? With Newt Gingrich, friends, are you ready to take a quantum leap into the third wave? Are you ready to call for the poets and the lovely singers to come out with their virtues of a borderless world and planetary consciousness? Then it goes on and says, the third wave has a more diverse religious belief systems. Diverse. Now, what about the Constitution, though? Well, the Constitution would not allow for this, would it? Because the Constitution puts America first. The Constitution talks about this country. But wait, that's why Newt Gingrich, in this book, Creating a New Civilization, says the Constitution of the United States needs to be reconsidered and altered to create a whole new structure of government. We've got to have a whole new structure of government, don't you know? Building a third wave civilization on the wreckage of second wave institutions involves the design of new, more appropriate political structures. Friends, the Supreme Court, the House, the Senate, the presidency, the states, people's rights under the 10th Amendment. Are you kidding me? We've got to wreck them. They're going to be destroyed. Friends, I've told you about Alan Greenspan and all of the bigwigs. Ben Bernanke calling for the creation of a new civilization. They want a new civilization, but they say it has to be built on the wreckage of the old one. The Constitution that our founding fathers have given us must be thrown out into the cesspool of history. And that's what Newt Gingrich says. He has so many great ideas. If you would only elect him president, I mean, Barack Obama cannot compare with his Harvard degree. He cannot compare with Newt Gingrich, who wants to create a whole new civilization, who told the New York Times, the list is, and the Washington Post, quote, "I want to shift the whole planet, and I'm doing it." See, that's what all the New Age leadership, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and all the other satanic gangsters, that's what they all said. We're going to shift the planet. We're going to have a quantum leap forward into the New Age movement. Friends, this man, this is what he's all about. And then I read that he's leading the polls. That people from middle America in Iowa want him to be number one in the Republican sweepstakes. That Bible Belt South Carolina also has Newt Gingrich number one in the polls. What are those people thinking? Maybe they don't know these things. You see, I read an article some years ago when Newt Gingrich, Speaker of the House, about how he loved this book. He wrote the foreword for it. And he gave out free copies, hundreds of them, to all the Republican members of Congress. Said, this is what I want for America. This is what the Republican Party should promote. Well, you know, friends, Tex Mars, I just have a curiosity. You know, I'm like the National Enquirer people. I just want to know. So I went down, I bought my copy. I didn't get a free copy. I bought it and I read it and I reported to you. But nobody else will report to you. I guess Tex Mars is the only one that will do so. And I'm very happy to. I'm thrilled to let you know these things. You know, even Glenn Beck seems to be waking up a little bit. This 2 days ago on the Glenn Beck show, he was talking about Newt Gingrich. And boy, he's found out about Newt Gingrich. And amazingly, Beck says, no way. He talks about, first of all, let me just read you what Glenn Beck says. Glenn Beck says that he's got his radio show and he has an internet TV show since they kicked him off for being so, quote unquote, conservative and radical, you know, on his TV show on Fox Network. Glenn Beck says, first of all, that the establishment of the GOP, of the Republican Party, is backing Gingrich over all the other candidates, and particularly over Romney. Now, folks, Romney is a master flip-flopper, no doubt about it. In fact, when he ran for governor of the state of Massachusetts, he actually gave an interview to the number one gay homosexual newspaper in Boston, Massachusetts. And Mitt Romney said, if you elect me as your governor, he's speaking to the gays now, I will out-Kennedy Ted Kennedy in supporting the gay agenda. I will out-Kennedy Ted Kennedy. Now, Glenn Beck comes along now this very week and says that if you vote for Gingrich, you're voting for somebody who is three times the con man and flip-flopper that Romney is. Let me read exactly. He says, quote, you can't tell me that Mitt Romney is a big government guy and not tell me that about Newt Gingrich, too. I'm convinced that the established right is all for Newt Gingrich. They don't want Mitt Romney. They've made that determination. I think that the GOP establishment will take Mitt Romney because I think he'll play ball. But there's problems with Mitt Romney, you know. So they don't want him. Gingrich has all those problems times three. And he goes on to say that, yes, Romney is a flip-flopper. You can't really know what the guy believes. He flip-flops on pro-life. He flip-flops on the environmental movement. And he flip-flops on gay rights. But so does Gingrich. It's who he's speaking to. If he's on a conservative talk show, the guy talks like he's the biggest conservative in the world. But the very next day, he's on another show, he's saying something completely the opposite. Now, to prove his point, Glenn Beck invited Newt Gingrich on, and on December the 6th, 2011, that's Tuesday, December the 6th, he sort of put the old axe to old Newt Gingrich, Glenn Beck did. I have a transcript of the TV and radio show, and he forced Newt Gingrich to admit that he's a flip-flopper. And boy, Newt Gingrich went around me and just like, you know, please don't throw me into that briar patch. But he was thrown into the briar patch by Glenn Beck, and he finally admitted, well, yeah, I did say in my books that I'm pro-environmental, that I'm pro-cap-and-trade, that I'm for establishing big government to force Americans to do what's right environmentally. Yes, I did say that global warming was caused by man. Yes, I did say all those things, says Newt Gingrich. But, you know, that was then and now is now. And, you know, and please don't hold me to anything that I've ever said. But then he came back and Glenn caught him in inconsistencies and said, do you or don't you? I mean, you sit there on that couch and did a TV commercial with Nancy Pelosi. But now you say it was the dumbest thing you ever did, Newt Gingrich. And Beck said to him, well, I believe you're right. It was the dumbest thing you ever did. But it's not one of the dumbest thing you ever did. You have a record of promoting cap and trade, environmental movement, taxing people to pay for cleaning up the environment and green programs. And Gingrich said, well, okay. Basically, I think it was Newt Gingrich's oops moment. Oops, you caught me, Beck. You caught me. Then finally, Glenn said to him, basically, come on. You have always been, you know, promoting environmentalism as much as any liberal in Congress. And now you're saying you don't know what the evidence shows, whether there really is man-made global warming or not. The evidence is still out. That's not what you believe. You wrote an entire book, Newt Gingrich, entitled Contract with the Earth. Remember the thing that Gingrich did? Contract with America, which he never fulfilled. But see, most Republicans don't know that he wrote a book for the liberal friends of his entitled Contract with the Earth, in which he said we need a gigantic world government program and bureaucracy. So what is it, Gingrich, says Glenn Beck? You really do believe that global warming is man-made? And Gingrich then says, yes, evidence is sufficient. And he says, we should move. Now, this was this week. We should move toward the most effective possible steps to reduce carbon looting of the atmosphere. And do it urgently? Gingrich asks, yes, and do it urgently. Now, let me tell you something, friends. John Kerry debated Gingrich on TV a couple years ago. And Gingrich out-carried John Kerry on the environmental issue. And Kerry said, I think the private sector should pay for the cleaning up of the environment. And Gingrich says, no, 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 no. I want the government to pay for it. Let me quote Gingrich to Kerry. No, no, no. I want the government to pay for it. John Kerry, you want the government to pay for it with a big tax plan? Gingrich, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Beck said to Gingrich, help me out. This is a multi-year stance. This isn't one dumb moment. It's not just a moment in your life, is it? Gingrich, well, first of all, I believe in the environment in general. That's all he could say. He was caught. Oops. Thank you, Glenn Beck, for the oops moment. By the way, I went out and I got the book, A Contract with the Earth. Man, you ought to read that. Al Gore never had it so good. I mean, this guy does, if Glenn Beck is right, and he's three times the flip-flopper, I'm talking about Gingrich, that Romney is, he is three times the Mother Earth lover that Al Gore is. You won't believe this book, A Contract with the Earth, that he wrote, he co-authored with one of the most liberal socialist environmentalist in America, Professor Terry Maple. Yeah, they wrote it together. He's a conservative, and Christians and Republicans actually believe him when he says that. He out-carried John Kerry. Wow. He's been caught. Oops. This is Tex Mars. Stay with me. We're not only going to talk about Newt Gingrich. We're going to talk about Rick Perry. Might even get into Herman Cain, Michelle Bachmann. And I might do a little commending of Ron Paul. I know you'll probably knock me for that, but hey, he deserves a little bit of credit when the moral pygmies are surrounding him on every side. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars. So great to be your friend and to have you as my guest on this program today. You know, I just feel like we're a team together. I really do. A lot of people say, well, you're head of Power Prophecy Ministries. I say, well, no, I'm just sort of sitting there. I've got a lot of people that are the head. And I want to represent each of you. Folks, I want to be your ambassador. I want to be your ambassador for truth. And I'll tell you something. I will not let you down. I will not let you down. You know, we've been in this ministry now for, well, I guess we began, Wanda and I founded it as Living Truth Ministries originally back in, 1986, I think. We were doing a number of other things, but in 86, we began our earnest work in the ministry. So that's what? That's a quarter of a century. Quarter of a century. Person, a good friend wrote me recently and they said, Tex, I can always count on you. You know, you go to church and suddenly the pastor changes his whole philosophy. You say, well, what happened to the last, 20 years? We're talking today about flip-flopping candidates. They say that Barack Obama is not keeping his campaign promises. Well, hey, you really don't know what Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney stand for except lies. I mean, they're so plastic, they're so flexible, they're so greasy, you can't grab hold of them. They'll tell you next week they didn't really say that. Or as Kerry once said, well, I voted for it before I voted against it. Well, that's what Newt Gingrich has done. We haven't even got to the Israel issue. We'll talk about that next. How they're all kosher candidates, every one of them, except Ron Paul. I'm not going to sell anything today. I'm not going to offer anything today. I just want to thank you for being a part of this ministry. I want to thank you also for your support for our staff. Many of you gave to our fund that we set up, our employee appreciation, and every cent of that went to our employees, and they are very appreciative, especially in this holiday season. Thank you so much for your help, for your love of this ministry, Power of Prophecy. I appreciate your prayers for Tex Mars. I could not do it without you. You know, I've had a lot of illnesses the last 3 or 4 years, and some days I couldn't even drag in to work here. I'll tell you, it was really bad, but yet I still wrote what I think is one of my best books, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now we have our newest video that's out entitled Die, America, Die. This is the plan. This is what's happening with America. Die, America, die. I had the strength through God to do that video. And everything on that video is, Tex Mars, what God gave me. I give a lot of my friends out there credit. They've used you friends, have sent me newspaper clippings and magazine articles and books. And I read everything that's sent to me. I do. Every letter that comes in here, I read it. Now, I don't always have the time. In fact, I rarely, very rarely have the time to write back to you. And I know some of you, it upsets you and discourages you. You say, well, all he has to do is just drop me a little note. But friends, I get so much mail, I just can't do that. I wish I could. I work 12, 14 hours a day, and I still don't have the time. But I know that you're patient, and you'll forgive me for that. It's not because I overlook you, because I read what you write to me, and I thank you so much for it. I really do. And so many times I've gone in a different direction than I was going to go in because of counsel from my friends. I feel like you're the counsel you are to this ministry. And I just want to thank you for it. Now let's return to our regular program. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We're talking about our kosher candidates for president, how they're putting Israel first over America. We're talking about Newt Gingrich. You know, Newt Gingrich was a member of the Project for a New American Century, which basically pushed for the invasion of Iraq. And the Project for a New American Century, believe me, those cruds were... Did you know that Newt Gingrich wrote and recommended the establishment of a Homeland Security Department before 9/11? He said someday soon there's going to be a horrible terrorist accident in America and many people will be killed. We need to go ahead and set up a Homeland Security. He's for torture, just like George Bush was. He's for the Patriot Act and worse, to take away your rights, to keep government Orwellian Big Brother watching over us all the time. Believe me, this man is trouble for America. But most of all, because he is indebted to the Jews. They're the ones that set him up. They're the ones that have made the man into a multimillionaire many times over. We recently found out he was given $1.6 million for his lobbying efforts for, you know, Freddie Mac and the big mortgage boys. That's not all. Did you know that Newt Gingrich also set up an organization, a lobbying organization, called the Center for Health Transformation? Now, he wanted to create a new civilization. I wonder what he wanted to do to transform our health systems, our health care. Well, let me explain it to you. You know about Obamacare. Well, it's Obamacare times three. It really is. This guy wants to out Obama on Obamacare. You say, Tex, that can't be. I've heard him criticize Obamacare. Oh, yeah. Just like Romney. He gave us something similar to Obamacare in the state of Massachusetts. But he says, well, I only did that for that one state. I don't mean to do it for the whole 50 states. It was only for Massachusetts. Yeah. I murdered one person. I didn't murder all 50. Somebody else did. I'm innocent, except for the one murder. I was reading about a psychopath recently. He was asked by his doctor, have you ever committed a violent offense? He said, well, I did kill a man one time, but no, I've never committed a violent offense. That guy should be running for president. Okay, but he's a psychopath. Well, these guys are too, so what can we say? But Newt Gingrich is very celebrated in Israel. In my newsletter, I had a picture of him wearing his little Jewish yarmulke. He visited Israel over half a dozen times, and each time he went up to the Wailing Wall and all that, you know, satanic mumbo jumbo of writing out a prayer and sticking it in the cracks of the wall. By the way, did you know that Jesus said that every stone in the temple of Herod would be thrown down? Every stone. That Wailing Wall is not the remains of the Holy Temple. People think it really is. And when our politicians go over there, they're followed by a little bitty Jewish rabbi wearing black and a black hat with his little black satanic cobra snake curls. That's what they are, by the way. They're snake curls. You didn't know that, did you? Well, read my book, Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. They are snake serpent coils, the little curl hair of the Jewish rabbis. And yes, Newt Gingrich went up there and put his little prayer in the hole in the, you know, but friends, do you want to communicate with God? Then just bow your head right now where you're at and communicate. You don't need to fly to Israel and go with a rabbi wearing satanic serpent curls underneath his black hat and do the mumbo jumbo of writing out a prayer request and sticking it in the cracks of stones that have nothing to do with God. God will talk to you right now. Goodness gracious alive. This is Satanism. This is supernatural mumbo jumbo. But they've all done it. Michelle Bachmann, let's look at her just a minute. Reading in American Free Press, April 25th, 2011 edition. Michelle Bachmann said she feels like she's not even American. I feel like I'm an Israeli, she said. Isn't that something? She said, I feel like I'm a citizen of Israel. Well, isn't that just fancy-dancy? Are we going to elect a president who feels more like she's an Israeli than an American? What is that all about? I don't recall George Washington saying, someday Israel will become a nation again, and I want to be a citizen of Israel, not the United States. Now, if you can find that in a history book, would you let me have it? You know, when Abraham Lincoln said, I want to keep the Union together, he didn't say, I want to keep the Union together. It's worthy of fighting a war. So someday Michelle Bachmann and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama could all go to Israel and say, I love Israel more than America. And by the way, Bill Clinton did basically say that. A few years ago, before a group of Zionist billionaires and millionaires, he said he loved Israel so much. This is Bill Clinton speaking at this luncheon. I love Israel so much that if Israel were ever attacked by its enemies, I would personally volunteer to go and fight on the front lines in military uniform for Israel. Now, here's a guy who's a draft dodger who wouldn't fight for America or even serve in the U.S. Armed Forces, but he's willing to fight and die in an Israeli military uniform for Israel? Well, send him over there and put him on the front lines against Iran when Israel invades Iran. I say let him ride the first atomic bomb to drop on Tehran. You know, like the movie Dr. Strangelove. Let him ride the bomb straight on down. He loves Israel so much. I like that idea. If I had the money, I'd probably do a movie. How Bill Clinton loved the bomb so much. He sacrificed his life for the Jews. Okay, here's what she says, Miss Bachman. She said, I have a special passion for Israel. I have been a longtime supporter of Israel. The first time I went to Israel was the day I graduated from high school. I spent a summer working on Kibbutz Beeri near Beersheba in 1974. Think about that, folks. She volunteered for no pay at a kibbutz. Now, what is a kibbutz? You have to understand, it's a communist communal form. All the people live in common. This is a collectivist agricultural cooperative, just like Joseph Stalin killed 16 million people in the Soviet Union to force the Russian people to go along with the communal forms. And they have these in Israel. See, a lot of people don't know that. I have a pastor friend, a ministry friend, whose ministry collects money and sends it to a Israeli hospital. I said, why do you want to do that? I'm helping the Jews. I'm helping a hospital. I said, who else gives money to that hospital? I don't know, but I know our ministry has sent over $2 million to this hospital. We want to help. We want to bless the people of Israel. I said, well, I'll tell you who else is supporting the hospital. The government of Israel. Because you don't have to listen to me, friends. They already have Obamacare in Israel. They have a socialist medical system. Now, unless you're a Palestinian where you get peanuts, if you're an Israeli citizen, they give you free medical care. In fact, they perform more abortions proportionately than any other country in the world in Israel. He's helping to pay. He's telling his Christian friends, give money for Israel. The money's going over there and they're giving out abortions. They're doing abortions with the Christian money. This guy was too stupid and a moral pygmy to even know what he was doing. Sending money to a socialist hospital that does more abortions proportionally than any hospitals in the world in Israel. Are you kidding me? And she volunteers to go over. And by the way, she goes on to say that she was asked, what did you do at that kibbutz, that communist collective farm? She said, I pulled weeds. I pulled weeds. Oh. I mean, she almost, you know, went crazy with passion because she was able to pull weeds for the whole summer at a kibbutz. She said, I've been 4 times in Israel. 3 times as a member of Congress. I loved Israel from the moment I first landed. I am honored to be in a position where I can help Israel. I have a tremendous love for Israel and great admiration for the Israeli people, including the ones that have been savaging and massacring and killing and torturing the Palestinians. No, she didn't say that last sentence. I made that up. But she said everything else. Here's this 55-year-old congresswoman talking about her love for Israel. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to say this again. Israel has 7.5 million people. Texas has 3 times as many. Mexico has 130 million people. I don't know of any of these candidates that have ever said, I love Mexico. I have a passion for Mexico. I spent the summer pulling weeds at a collectivist farm down in Mexico. I have a tremendous love for the Mexican people. From the first moment I landed in Mexico City or Tijuana, I am honored to be in a position where I can help Mexico. Yet Mexico has about 25 times as many people as Israel does. I thought as Christians we're supposed to love everybody, for Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hey, Michelle Bachman and you other Israeli nuts, why don't you love Uruguay or Colombia or Canada or Argentina or Indonesia? Have you been to Argentina? They need help. They're poor. Have you been to Singapore? Have you been to Malaysia? There's people living there like they did 1,000 years ago out in the forest. They need help. Have you been to Borneo lately? Why did you go to Israel, a country of 7.5 million, four times? I'll tell you why. To kiss the boots of your masters. Now let's get to Rick Perry. First of all, Rick Perry invited a bunch of Jewish rabbis. Talk about kibitzers. Lubavitchers, it looked like. Same thing, blaring the black stuff and having the cobra curl hair and all that. To his office at the state capitol, at the governor's office of the state of Texas. And he signed some proclamation for him. It doesn't matter. These Jews love to get these proclamations signed by governors and mayors and presidents. Folks, you can go Google it up. Talk about, and just type in Rick Perry dancing with rabbis. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen. Imagine Rick Perry, governor of Texas, candidate for president on the Republican ticket, dancing in a circle around his desk with the rabbis. It looks like something from these sicko shows, South Park or Modern Family or something on TV, these sitcoms. I mean, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Rick Perry holds hands with these rabbis, these little guys dressed in their black hats and all this stuff, and he's dancing around the desk. I mean, this thing went viral on TV. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen. They ought to go on a national tour. Don't watch Dancing with the Stars. Watch Dancing with the Rabbis. It's incredible. By the way, Rick Perry has put out the word that if he's elected president, he will choose a Jewish woman, a congresswoman. Her name is Ileana Rose-Letinin, a congresswoman who's now head of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He will choose her to be his vice president. I mean, he's pulling out all stops to kiss the boots of his Jewish masters. This was according to an editorial in the New York Sun newspaper. By the way, Rick Perry's also been over there on missions to kiss their boots over in Israel. The 7.5 million population nation was visited at least twice that I know. I have the stories from Politico about Rick Perry traveling. Listen to this. Rick Perry's travel to Israel bankrolled by activist rabbi Erwin Katzoff. Hey, folks, you want to go to Israel on a trip? Well, you need to be governor of a state. And if so, maybe Rabbi Erwin Katzoff will pay your way. He didn't fly first class. He didn't fly coach class. Rick Perry flew on a fancy chartered aircraft. Evidently, from what I understand here, Erwin Katzoff is a rabbi. He pays for lavish trips for American politicians and businessmen to visit. He's paid for Attorney General John Ashcroft and many others. And while Perry was over there, he was given the Friend of Zion Award. That was in 2007. In 2009, he went back up again, and he was given the Defender of Jerusalem Award. And he came back after 2009, and just, he was glowing, all aglow. I went and I visited with the Israeli leaders. I am so magic now. I mean, I'm like a golden man. Put the halo around my neck like you did Newt Gingrich. Let me read this article from Politico.com. At the Aspen Institute, which is another one of these New Age groups in Colorado, he told the group there, he said, when I was in Israel in 2009, I met with President Peres, that's Shimon Peres, and Bibi. Who's Bibi? Well, that's his friend. Bibi, that's Benjamin Netanyahu. And Rick and Bibi are on such close terms. He can call him my friend BB. And so Rick says, if I'm elected president, this was reported in the London Mail, that madman Akhmedinejad will not have nuclear weapons. I will support Israel against all of its enemies. That's wonderful. Isn't that nice? He's going to support Israel against all of its enemies. And he should, because after all, America is a colony of Israel. Our real leaders are over there. I don't understand why Rick Perry doesn't run for prime minister of Israel. Do you? And he wants Ileana Rosletinin to be his vice president. I mean, oh, goodness gracious. Who have we got next? Well, Mitt Romney, you know about him enough. Mr. Flip-Flopper there. Let's see who we can go to next. We'll start with Ann Coulter a bit. You know Ann Coulter, the one that writes all the books? She's sort of funny sometimes. I sort of like Ann Coulter. But she's a flip-flopper too. She now says it doesn't matter who we have running as our Republican candidate. We should vote for the best man that can beat Obama. That's her standard. Can he beat Obama? She says she'll be for Romney. She'll be for Gingrich. Whoever can beat Obama. Now, the last election, she said that was a problem with John McCain. Not only could he not beat Obama, but he was a liberal. Now she said, I don't care if they're, she's basically saying, I don't care if they're a liberal or not. I'll vote for him as a Republican candidate. Isn't that interesting? Now, Mitt Romney was asked about Akhmedinejad, by the way. And see, each one of them try to outbid the other, you know. And Mitt Romney says the same thing. I will, you know, if necessary, I will use nuclear arms to attack Iran. They all want to attack Iran. They can't wait. They're lusting. Doesn't the Bible say something about the warmongers? You know, in the book of Revelation, there's a list of people who will not make it to heaven. They include liars, adulterers, and warmongers. Jesus actually listed the warmonger as one who would not go to heaven. Wow. Now, all these evangelical Christians that are promoting Newt Gingrich now, and Newt Gingrich is just dying to go over and attack Iran and kill a bunch of people over there. A lot of people that might become a Christian in the future sometime. But we're not interested in evangelizing Iran. We want to go kill Iranians. And evangelical Christians are right at the front in wanting to do so. What are you going to do when you get before the throne and Jesus says to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You're a warmonger. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll see the kingdom of heaven. You won't see the kingdom of heaven because you don't love peace. You love war and death. I remember General Sherman, who was known as one bloody, cruel general when he was with the Northern armies against the South. People ask him, isn't it romantic to be in war and to fight? And Sherman really disabused him of that. He said, only people who have never been up close in battles during war, only they think it's romantic. War, said Sherman, is hell. Folks, you're living in an oasis of prosperity in America, even with a 3.5-year-long recession. Even with 22 million people, and that's how many are out of work. They don't admit that, but you know that. And it's gathering steam all the way, our economic crisis. Let me tell you something, friends. We're blessed as a nation not to be at war. So before you go around saying, let's take America's military and go nuke Tehran and kill millions of people. Let's go bash a bunch of people over there. Let me tell you something, friends. It'd be far better than for you to take those billions of dollars that we spend on bomber aircraft and nuclear missiles and submarines that are ICBM and IRBM capable. It would be far better for you to give the money that you have toward an evangelical missionary cause. It would be far better for you rather than to kill the Muslims, to tell them about Jesus and win their souls over for eternity, for heaven. I know you don't care about that. I know you Southern Baptists and Pentecostals, most of you, you don't really care about the souls of the Muslims. Shame on you. Now, Ron Paul doesn't talk much about evangelization, but at least he's not a warmonger. Ron Paul is the only guy I know that doesn't want to start a war with Iran. Ron Paul is the only one that says, I want the Constitution. We shouldn't be paying for people's medical care. By the way, I never finished my story on Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich started this lobbying group called the Center for Health Care Transformation. And how did he get the money to do it? Well, he was paid millions of dollars by pharmaceutical companies. They want Obamacare. Do you realize that the pharmaceutical companies want 35 million more people getting pharmaceuticals? They want all these new people on the rolls so they'll go down to their drugstores and pay for all these expensive, outrageously expensive prescriptions. The big pharma companies paid Newt Gingrich to set up a lobbying outfit, and Newt Gingrich, and I have him on record, is actually promoting, yes, promoting a national health care system that requires people to pay for their medical care. But Gingrich is nice enough about it. He has said, if you can't pay, then we'll give you a government subsidy. That's Obamacare. But you have to understand where this is coming from. He's the mouthpiece for the big pharmaceutical companies, just like he was the mouthpiece for the big mortgage brokers who all went bankrupt and we had to bail them out with our billions of TARP money. This guy is in the pocket of the corporate world, but most of all, he's in the pockets of Israel. I'm surprised he hasn't danced with the rabbis yet. Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry did. Michelle Bachmann pull weeds for the Jews. Friends, listen to me. Do not vote for anyone that will not put America first. If Michelle Bachmann loves Israel so much, let her go live there. Let her run for office there. The same thing is true of all these people that are lusting for war. I want to congratulate Ron Paul on sticking to his guns. He's sticking to his guns. He says no foreign aid to anyone. Folks, it's good to help the poor, and I think we should do it as individuals, as the church. But the government shouldn't be in the business of taking your taxpayer dollars and giving billions of dollars of foreign aid to Israel or anywhere else. Ron Paul's right about that, and so is his son, Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky. He's the only guy that is not a kosher candidate in the pocket of Israel. All the rest of them. I wish I'd have gotten into Herman Cain, how his campaign was funded by the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, Jewish billionaires. Everything reeked of Israel. They even took him to Israel first, just like they did all the other candidates. They take them over there and make sure they're going to do their little job for Israel. You can't be president, they say, unless the Jews approve. That's what they're saying about Ron Paul. Let's prove them wrong. He will never be president because the Jewish media will not back him. Let's prove them wrong. What do you say? I'm not saying he is the perfect candidate. By no means. There are things about Ron Paul I don't care for. But at least he's not kissing the boots, licking the boots of his Jewish masters. And he will put America and its Constitution first. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Glad to be with you and exposing these moral pygmies, unartful liars, and waffling flip-floppers. Hope you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.